And we just thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and you are full of compassion. And we're just excited to come into your presence to know that your word is true and your word, you are faithful, Lord God, that you're manifesting yourself in us and you're bringing to pass your promise in us. And we don't understand how. We don't know how it's done. All you said is believe. Believe. Just believe. Said you just believe the promise, and the belief is counted for righteousness. But the belief is not a work. It's just a okay. It's just an okay. I believe, and then all of these things are added unto me. So we just give you praise and thanks and glory and honor right now, in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, let's while you're turning over to Hebrews, let's pause this again. We're going to pray for the nations. Good to pray. It's good to pray and let God direct your prayer. Amen? Sometimes it takes a little while. It takes a little while to get started praying. Huh? Yeah, it takes a little while to get started praying sometimes. And just take a little time, you know. Sometimes if you have it all down rote, that means just like memorized. It doesn't really, it's not effectual. Meaning, you know, it's just like, yeah, you think you're going to be heard. Jesus said, they think they were going to be heard for their many words. Well, I got this prayer down. I'm pretty good. I get it done about 2 minutes, you know, and it's done. It's like when we're talking about the eight parts. This isn't the message. This is just something extra. It's just the eight parts to daily prayer. Well, I got that done. No. That's like the Lord's Prayer. Okay, I got that done. No, it's not, you know, okay, I got that done. It's a jumping off point, right? Amen? It's a jumping off point because here's what God's doing. He is training you. It's boot camp. He's just training you. Amen? This is boot camp right here. This is just boot camp. You know, well, I get my message every Sunday. Well, yeah, well, that's Pastor Jim is not the message in your Bible study. Pastor Jim is just a jumping off point. Amen? Teach me how to swim. That's why Jesus left. I said, that's why Jesus left. Well, how come you didn't just stay around? Well, because you got to learn to hear God. You got to learn to hear the Holy Spirit, like me, Jesus says. I've been hearing the Holy Spirit. You're going to learn how to hear Him too. And that's why, you know, He was talking there for hours on end at dinner. You know, I thought we were going to have a dinner. No, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to take you from the kingdom in this world that you're thinking about. And like, wow, I think we're going to make it. I think Jesus is going to, hey, you're poking each other at the table. Hey, you think He's going to announce tonight? Is He going to announce His candidacy for president tonight, you know? And no, actually what He manages to do is get Himself arrested and crucified. And, you know, He told them what was going to happen. And they're like, He'd been telling them for 3.5 years and they're just not listening. Because they had their own idea of what the Messiah was going to be. You know, we heard about the Messiah. We know what He's going to do. He's going to take over. He's going to kick some tail. You know, He's going to get it done. And, well, what's up with this? You know, what's He doing? No, what Jesus is doing is He's bringing the Father to live on the inside of you. He's giving you a relationship with the Father in heaven. He's not building a kingdom on this earth, is He? Huh? The only kingdom He's building on this earth is the one He's building on the inside of you. And it has to do with faith. It has to do with faith. And of course, we read about that, you know, in Hebrews, over in Romans, when you talk about Abraham and the faith that brings righteousness. The faith that qualifies. There's a faith that qualifies you for the kingdom of heaven. And what that is believing in the promise of God. Abraham believed God. Hey, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Okay. That's it. You know, Phil, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to die for all of your sins and connect you back up with the Father. What do you think? You in? Say, yes, I am. Okay. See? And then you're so, and that's all it is. You're in. Jesus died for my sins. He was raised by His Father from the dead. And I believe that. And guess what? I'm in. I'm all in. I'm all in. It's not because of what I did, it's what I believed. I believed what he said, and now I'm all in. And now everything that he said, everything that he promised, is coming to pass in me. Now I'm not looking and I'm not checking because I don't know how to look and I don't know how to check. Because you remember the guys over in the there in the room having supper, they didn't know how to check either. They just went by what everybody had said. They just went by what everybody had talked about. But what I'm doing is I'm going to believe what just every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to hear Him every day, and I'm going to let Him lead me, and I'm not going to listen to what somebody else said about it. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, last time we got together, did Danny come last week?
Yeah.
What did he preach about?
God is good and only
Amen. That's really true, you know? Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Isn't he great? He's a blessing. That guy's cool. And he's just such, I mean, he just showed up out there in the middle of nowhere, and like John the Baptist, and God just began to bring a bunch of people out there, and they meet and have, they got about four house churches out there, I think. You know, am I evangelistically speaking? You know what that is? Three? Okay. Okay. How many?
18 families.
18 families. All right, see? Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, and they, yeah, I mean, you got so many of them, you just got to, you know, have another one, break into another one. That's what we're going to do with this house church we got. We're going to have to train some of you guys up because there's only so many of me and so many of Pastor Jim. We just can't be everywhere every time. And I'll tell you what, with Jim out of pocket, I'll tell you, you just can't be everywhere all the time. All right? Now, we remembered in Hebrews chapter 11, the last time we were together, is now faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. You remember who the elders were? The elders were of the tribes of Israel, who when they came back from Jericho, Caleb and Joshua said, well, we can do it. That's the good report. The problem is there were 10 other guys that said, ain't no way. Which one are you? Are you the ain't no way crowd, or are you the yeah, we can do it crowd? Say, yeah, yeah, we can do it. But the thing is, we can do it, but it's not us. It's God. It's the same God that brought us through everything we've been through so far is the same one that's going to take us to the through. He didn't just kind of get us wound up, right? Okay, it's kind of like a slingshot. He didn't just, you know, you don't do anything with a slingshot. It's just the guy, you know, and he lets go, and there you go, right? I mean, it's not you. There's no power in you at all. There's no strength in you. There is no strength in me. I just believe what God told me. I just believe what God told me, and then he's going to do the rest of it. And you know, that is a hard thing for the mind to think of, because so many of us have come up just thinking, okay, we gotta do something, we gotta perform, God's just looking for me to do something. God's looking for me to be a good guy and to do it right. And what he's gonna do is, as I believe him, he's gonna begin to work that and produce that in me, but it's not me. It's not me. And that is a weird, weird deal. Because all of a sudden, there's nothing that I produce. There is nothing that I produce. Abraham produced nothing. That's why God came and found him when he was 75 instead of 25. You know, God finds you when you're 25. Yeah, we're well able. At 75, you're like, you got to be kidding. You know? Praise the Lord. You're just like, uh-uh. You know, have you looked lately? You know? But then after a while, you know, the thing is that God said, Abraham considered his own body now, considered not his own body now dead. Now, of course, at the very first, he said, yeah, you got to be kidding. But then, see, after 15 years of this thing, I mean, here he is at 90, right? He starts out at 75. And then at 90, he considered not his own body now dead. Neither the deadness yet. He had a partner in this. Neither the deadness yet of Sarah's womb. I mean, there's two people involved in this thing. Neither one of them got any chance. Is that you? I don't have a chance. I don't have a chance. There's nothing in me that's good. There's nothing in me to produce anything good. Huh? Amen? See, if you'll rest with that and be excited about that, that means the miracle's all the bigger. The miracle's all the bigger, and I don't produce anything. I just let God do what He wants to do. And like I said, you know, you don't just do the wind-up prayer at the beginning of the thing. The prayer is not about... I hope I didn't turn this off. The prayer is not about making God happy with your prayer. The prayer is just show up. It's like church. And it's not God's happiness with the fact that you showed up, other than the fact... How many of you showed up on Thanksgiving? Anybody? Did y'all all stay home on Thanksgiving, didn't show up? Whatever. Did you wake up that morning? Did you get up out of bed and show up at the table? Huh? Did you show up? Everybody say yes. Okay, see, I knew something. All right, if you show up, see, that's all God's asking. He just wants you to show up. And again, it's not a work. He's asking you to show up for you. You know, He's not asking you to show up so He'll look good. He's asking you to show up so that you get the benefit. You get the turkey. You get the dressing. You get everything. Okay, you don't like dressing. Fine. You'll get whatever it is you like and you need and you got to have. You get that. See, you show up. See, showing up by faith, you get everything you wanted. You know, Abraham wanted a kid. Guess what? He got multitudinous kids. He got kids as the stars of the sea. And he was going to go kill the one that he got. He'd taken up to the mountain, you know. He booted the one out, you know, because his wife made him boot the other guy out. And then one by faith, the one God actually promised, He's going to take him up to the top of the mountain and kill him. In other words, this is absolutely impossible. But he believed God. By that time, he believed God. He believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. Here in Hebrews. Of course, back there in the, he said, me and the boy are going to go worship and we're going to come again. See, so many times when you're doing stuff, just walk out there. When it's hopeless, just walk out there and just say, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to come back. In other words, it looks like when you go out, you're going to be, it's over. But just say that. I'm going to go out here and we're going to come back rejoicing. We're going to come back full. It's like those guys and the spies. You know, we're going to go down there and we're going to come back rejoicing. The other guys, they went down there expecting to be overwhelmed and they were. Right? See, when you're walking with God, there's no way you're defeated. No way you can be defeated. Now, you can in your own mind because you believed you instead of God. Right? Because you're believing you instead of the promise. See, when you show up, on site and things look bad, when you show up at work and things look bad, you believe you and not the promise. See, the promise is always there. No matter what things look like where you go, the promise is always there. Now, when I'm saying all this, you know, understand again, yeah, you are absolutely, we'll get back to the, you know, if you want to call it the message of this church. Is you are, but it's all together. Is that you are the biggest wicked failure that there is. And y'all feel better now that I said that? Let's get back to that. Okay? Yes. Thank God you're the biggest wicked failure there is. But you know what? That's what God called for. That's what He called for. It's His ingredients. It's like the eggs and the, you know, everything you need to make the pie or whatever. You know, we didn't have, Grace was telling us we didn't have the, we didn't have a pumpkin pie spice or something. We can't do it. Well, without a sinner, you can't. Without a wicked sinner like you, God can't do anything. Amen? I mean, what good is Jesus died if there's no sinners? Tell me why. Did He die for no reason? Huh? No, He didn't die for anything. He died for you. It was a grand purpose and a grand scheme, Sabrina. and he had you in mind. Isn't that great? And he said, just believe. Believe me. And all these other things have come to pass. And every day, that's what prayer is about, is every day saying amen. Isn't it? I said every day is every day saying amen to that, because you forget. Every day you forget. That's why we've got to bring these things to your remembrance until we're dead. That's what Peter said, remember? He said, I'm going to put these things in your remembrance until I'm dead. So that when I'm dead, you'll have these things in your remembrance, Randy. Amen. I love to call people's name. Just, you know, it's, number one, you make sure they're awake. Not dozing off or thinking about something else. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So here we are. So we had the elders obtaining a good report. And let's go down here. If you want to get the other message, you can go get it. Go down here to... anybody remember how far we got? Did we get down to Moses? I don't know if we did or not. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to look here at... Let's look here at Moses, by verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, by his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and not, he's a good-looking child, I mean, you know, not weak, sickly, or anything, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So even his parents were faith. See, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. See, you read the rest of the verse, is it's the by faith Moses, but it's not Moses. It's by faith Moses was hid by his parents. So by faith his parents hid him because they knew that God had something going on. Amen? So that by faith there's things that you do by faith but that you know that God's got something going on, and you're going to just go ahead and just do it. And you're just going to do it by faith. Again, doing it by faith is not, well, God will be mad if I don't do this. No, that's not, you following me on that? It's not God's going to be mad if I don't. What it is that God's got something and I want to get it. He provided something and I want to get the all of it. I want to receive all of it. And that's what they were doing. Is that, and part of that, is again, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and just letting Him lead you. And sometimes you have stuff that you don't know what the end of it's going to be. You don't know if you're just going to go turn on that light switch, go in that room, turn on that light switch, and walk away and don't know what else is going to happen. You know, you don't need to know. You don't need to know. Just take that little thing, and whatever that little thing is, just go walk in there, do that, and let the Holy Spirit handle it from there. Well, what if you never know? Well, fine. Not a problem. Just trust God. Learn to walk with God. Learn to obey God without knowing everything. Okay? I mean, I didn't see that. Amen. Well, fine. What do you need? I mean, because I said so. Anybody said that to your kids? Has anybody ever said that to their kids? Okay? How many know you have a Father in heaven? Sometimes he say, because I said so. He said, you just go do that. And so you're hearing him, and you go do that, and you just go on about your day. And you don't know. It's like the Scripture says, casting your bread upon the waters, because, and it'll return after many days. In other words, you just walk with God. Enoch walked with God. As part of this chapter. And he was not before God took him. You know, you walk with God, and then God will do whatever he's going to do. And all of these things are coming to pass because the kingdom of heaven is being established. The kingdom of heaven is being established in and through you. And the blessings of God follow. The blessings of God follow. They follow you because you've heard him and because you're walking with him and all these other things shall be added to you. He said, seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus said it over in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you know, you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. And the Heavenly Father takes care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. How much more valuable are you than they? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? His righteousness, which is by faith. And all of these other things shall be added to you. Everything else will be taken care of. You know, and some of you, you know, and yeah, you know, I've been the same way. It's kind of, well, seemed like we've been walking this thing for a good while, and just doesn't seem like everything is gelling the way I thought it was going to gel. Anybody? Are you gelling? Isn't that foot thing? Are you gelling? It seems like things aren't gelling. Well, you know what? God knows all of these things. God knows where you are, what you're thinking, what you're hoping for, what you're believing for. But He knows that He is meeting all of your needs. Now, is there a problem? Is there a trouble? Is there something that's going on that you're not happy with? Yes. Yet, I believe that God is doing what He is going to do and promised to do. And all things are going my way. I just don't see how they're going my way. But it's not me to judge that they're not going my way, but even though they don't appear to be going my way. Because I don't judge with the right judgment. I judge with a funky kind of judgment. I judge with a judgment that's based on my opinion. Huh? Any of y'all do the same thing? I know Grace does. She judges with her opinion, you know. Takes the temperature of the circumstance and see if it's going her way or not, you know. And I tell her, I said, everything's going your way, you know. And I guess she buys it most of the time, you know. It's because she believes that I believe it. And you know what? God believes it. So listen, I want you to know that everything is going your way. You cannot lose. You know, well, what if I die? You can't lose. What if I get shot tonight? You can't lose. You're going to heaven. You're already living in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So listen, doesn't matter what you are. You know, if you wanted to say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I have everything. So here, by faith, Moses, verse 23, when he was born, was hid by his parents. Amen. Thank God for parents like y'all. Thank God for parents like y'all. I don't know if you had godly parents, but thank God for parents like you. Well, I'm single. Well, thank God for a parent like you. Amen. You know, even if you're single, you're a parent in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, look at Paul. Paul had sons in the kingdom. Yeah? Amen. Don't y'all have sons and daughters in the kingdom? You do. You do. You got people who look to you. Listen, I'm telling you. And again, no pressure. You got people who look to you. You do. Because they know that you know stuff they don't know. And so you're walking by faith and people are looking to you. Amen? They are. They're looking to you. It's great. Okay, so look here. By faith, Moses, 24, when he was come to years, okay, now we're at Moses, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction after he'd already screwed up. He went out to check on his brethren. Then one of them was getting beat up because he knew who he was. It wasn't like they erased his identity. He knew who he was. But then God moved on him and he made a choice. He said, you know, choosing rather than to be called the son of Pharaoh. Wow, that's a big one too. I mean, Jim's done a lot of study on that lately. I mean, he's a bigger, closer to Pharaoh than you know. I don't know if he's, you know, shared that much, you know, over here. But also even his mother and certainly his mother. I don't know about his father, but how far his father made it. But certainly his mother was an elevated person, not of Egyptian descent, but became as the mother of Moses, who they called by another name. Can't remember what it is now. I won't break the surprise, suspense. But, I mean, it was high society. It was high Egyptian society. And to leave that, it was God. To leave that was God. I mean, you know, it's like some of you people. You had to leave some of your highfalutin society, Andrew. You know? I mean, my goodness. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And Andrew. Andrew and Andrew. They had to step away from that highfalutin society and follow God. So by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, choosing with the people of God. How about y'all? Choosing, I mean, you know, you could have chosen the other way, but look here. You chose to suffer affliction with us, with the people of God, right here in this room. Amen. Just chose to suffer affliction with Mitch. Sing along with Mitch. I'm sorry. Some of y'all too young to remember that. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You remember Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes? Well, Book of Ecclesiastes. Anybody know what that book's about? It's vanity. Yes, it's Solomon going, you know what, guys? Let me tell you a few things. I tried it all, and it ain't what it's all cracked up to be. It ain't what they say it is. It's all the advertising industry. And it's pleasure of sin for a season. See, that book, Solomon just tried everything. He tried it all. And for a season, it was okay. But after the season was over, you know what? Anybody experience that? After the season's over, it's kind of like it like rots. Yeah. And it's still, you know, sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. There are consequences to it. There are consequences to it. And what you want to do is avoid it, not because God's mad at you, but avoid it because, you know, he said, don't go there. It ain't going to be good and you're not going to like it. And, you know, we've had folks that have taken that path. And you know, God said don't do it. He didn't say don't do it for a reason. He said don't do it because it's just going to slow you down. Anybody been slowed down by sin? By the consequences of sin? It just slows you down, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, boy, you went on a long ride that you didn't intend to. You just thought it was okay, Will. You just thought, you know, this won't be too bad. It's kind of a bumpy ride, but it won't be too bad. But you know what? It took a lot longer to get around that mountain than you thought. 40 more years in the desert. It's 40 more years in the desert. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. You just want to believe God, don't you? Yeah, I just want to believe God. That's all I want to do. I want to believe God. So just believe Him. And then take it to prayer every day and say, Father, I believe You. I'm excited because, not because of everything that I see that looks like it's some kind of fancy, shiny thing that comes my way, but I'm excited that every day that I'm not depressed. And that I'm not thinking that God forsook me. Even though it doesn't appear that everything that I looked to and wanted to came my way. But I don't believe that. I believe that everything is going my way. And I can be happy and peaceful and joyful every single day. And you know what? Some days I get, Anybody get like that? Some days you're just like, something happens and for about 15, 20 minutes, it's just like, But you come back. You come back because you know that God is good. Amen? you come back and you know that God is good. He said he said it's better to suffer persecution with the people of God than to suffer the pleasures, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26 there in Hebrews 11, he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Whew, wow. First of all, what did Moses know about Christ? He judged the reproach of walking with God and the people in the promise of Christ and the promise of God. He counted that more valuable, greater riches than everything that he could have in Egypt. Than everything that you could have in this world, you're counting the kingdom of heaven of more value. Counting walking with joy unspeakable and full of glory with more value. But what happens is that comes from having the relationship with the Lord. That comes from having a relationship with Jesus. And with saying that He is my God and He has loved me and He has changed me. And there's nothing like this in the earth to be had. Nothing. I can't fathom anything greater than living in the kingdom of heaven. And we do live in the body and in a flesh that daily will remind you that everything doesn't seem to be going your way. But that's that fight between the Holy Spirit, between the spirit and the soul. All right? Now, I talked about this the other week, is that many denominations or many Christian teachings have a body and a soul. And so if the soul is supposed to be saved, if the soul is supposed to be saved and it doesn't think saved, then what happens? You get confusion because you don't know if you're saved or not because your thinking is messed up. But the Scripture teaches, Hebrews chapter 4 and in 1 Peter, talks about Peter praying that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus. There is a spirit that you have that is born of God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit." There is a soul and a spirit. The soul is the part of you that is raised up in this world with this world's wisdom, this world's understanding of how things operate. The spirit is what hears from God and which is transforming that soul from this world to the kingdom of heaven, from this kingdom to the kingdom of heaven. That's what blesses me. It's because I know there's a distinction and a difference. I'm not in confusion, wondering whether I'm saved or not saved. I know that I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed. It's done. It's a finished work. My spirit is complete. We are complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. You can say that if you want. I'm complete in Him. And I'm in Him. So I'm complete. See, take that all around. You know, take it both directions. Go out and come back in with it. Repeat these things and say these things. I will say of the Lord. See, I love the Scriptures when it tells me to say something. Amen? Because if I don't say it, I'll just kind of think it. And if I just think it, then I might think something else. And then I might think something. My thinker just goes everywhere. Doesn't yours? I'll think about this. Well, then I thought about that. And then I thought about something else. Then I thought it was time for lunch. And then I quit thinking for a while. And I started all over again. Thinking. See? It's just a crazy thing. You know, your brains are just nuts. Yeah. Your brains just wag you around like a dog on a leash, won't they? Because you just believe all kinds of things. You believe that? Yeah, I believe that. You believe all kinds of nonsense. You take it to captive to the Word of God. Taking every thought captive to the Word of God. Because your thoughts are just, you think about anything. Yeah, amen? Yes, amen. I do. I think about all kinds of silly stuff and all kinds of just everywhere, everything. Just, you know, it's like somebody hand you something. Here, think about this. You know, here, think about, okay, I'll think about that for a while. Here, think about how you hadn't eaten in a day. Think about how you don't have anything. Think about how, you know, everybody treats you bad. Why don't you think about that for a while? You know? I mean, people give you all kinds of things to think about. The devil gives you all kinds of junk to think about, won't he? Anybody like that? You just, you know, people hand you something. It's like those people on the street. They hand you a brochure and you just read it. You just read that thing and digest it and just swallow it. We got a dog that he doesn't swallow. He doesn't look at it. He doesn't look at it. He doesn't think about it. Whatever it is, it's on the floor. He picks it up with his mouth and swallows it. And the guy's this big. Or this big. I mean, you know, are you like that? Just take anything, swallow it, think about it later. Oh, gosh. You know, my tummy hurts. My head hurts. You know, you don't need to be eating everything. You know, I'm going to talk about eating. You just don't need to be just picking up everything and taking it in. Amen? Especially when it looks like it's like looks like everybody's bit on it, you know? And spit it out 2 or 3 or 4 times. Huh? Anybody like that? I mean, you know, you want to make sure that you're not just eating things that people just have spit out or bit off of, you know, everything. All right? I'm telling you. Okay? So he counted the reproach of the promise of God when he says Christ. I'm going to say here, that's the promise of God, because that's what he knew about it. Because there was a promise from Abraham. See, how many know that Abraham was the father of faith, but he's also, in this case, he's also the father, long distance, of Moses, right? He's the father of Moses. So he's over there, the father of Moses, tribe of Levi. And so he had the promise of God because he's a son of Israel, isn't he? Moses is a son of Israel, which is a son of Isaac, Israel's Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And the sons of Jacob, which is Israel, the tribes of Israel. So that's where Moses is. That's where he came out of. He came out of the promise. He didn't like come out of somewhere else. You know what's fun? Is remembering that, and it says it over here, that that the Gentiles said Simeon. I want to talk to you about this for a second. Remember Simeon had the took the baby Jesus in the temple? And he'd been waiting for the baby Jesus. And he lifts him up and says, this is the light to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles were heavy. No. But he was the light to give them light. He was the light of the world to give light to the Gentiles. Because he said that the Gentiles are what produced. Remember I talked about this. Is that the Gentiles. Simeon actually says, this is where the Jews came from. The Jews came out of the Gentiles. Because Abraham was just a guy. Abraham was just a guy. He was just a guy, just a moon god worshiper out there, you know. And God said, Abe, I got a promise for you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're 75 years old and you hadn't had a kid yet. I'm going to make you the father of many nations for real. Not just like figurative. I'm actually going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to be the first one of many nations. So he created them out of nothing. He created the Israel out of just people, right? Amen? Isn't that cool? So you don't have to be Jewish to get in on this. Actually, the whole plan was to get you. The whole plan was to get, you know, Linda. The whole plan was to, you know, get her, you know, and get her in, you know. So he created a whole people and created a whole thing. And then he let Moses create a law so that people would see that, you know what, there ain't no way for you to get in unless I do something. That's all it is. That's all the law is creating a way, a means to show you that, you know what, just so you know, there's no way you can get in here. You know, there's no way you can get in here. There's a giant fence. It's impossible for you to climb. You can't get it. You can't arrive without me doing something, without making you a promise and then fulfilling it myself. Because when he did, remember when Abraham did all the gyrations there at the altar, and then he fell asleep under the altar, and God cut the covenant all by himself. He cut the covenant all by himself, and then he gave it to Abraham. And Abraham woke up and went, "What happened? What happened while I was sleeping? What happened while you were sleeping?" Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And he now is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for you every day. And he says, "Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So come every day. Don't just come once, come every day. Amen? Well, I got saved once, came down the aisle. No, come every day. It's not about getting saved for tomorrow, it's about getting saved for today. It's not about getting saved for next week or heaven. Heaven is right now. He has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And it's right now. Amen? Kathy remembers that every day. Every time she picks up that baby's going, "Ah!" Say, "He's living in the kingdom of heaven." Glory to God. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. So, and we esteem... And when this is us, we esteem the reproaches of Christ greater than the riches of the kingdom of the planet Earth and the United Nations or the United States or Walmart, or being an accountant. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, whatever we have available to us to enjoy, whether it's making a lot of money or going down to the local Tiffany's, or maybe it's Walmart. I do go. You see, I mean, crying out loud, see that Black Friday? You know, my goodness sake, get you a 50-inch TV for under $500. I don't need to get that at Haverty's. I can give it to Walmart and get it. Same TV. The cords may be hanging out when I install it, but, you know, it's the same one. Right? You know, it doesn't matter what you you call it the riches of this kingdom. It doesn't matter what you call it, and because it's whatever is satisfying you for a few minutes. And see, the satisfaction is doesn't last long. And it's also it also just takes up a lot of time chasing after stuff in this world. Just takes up a lot of time. It's like guilt. It also, that guilt's another one, right? You remember? Guilt always also takes up a lot of time. It's a waste of time. It's like, you know, you just... You understand what I'm saying? It is a waste of time. Because God doesn't count it for nothing. He's not looking at it. He's not looking at you feeling bad about it. He's just looking at his watch going, "Yeah, how long is this going to go on? Would you just receive forgiveness right now, please? Would you just receive my love and my forgiveness right now for all that nonsense that you're grinding, gyrating over, right? Is that right? I mean, you ever done that? Well, you're too young for that. You don't feel guilty about nothing. Oh, do you really? Well, stop that. Stop that. Amen. It's a waste of time. Have you found it's a waste of time?
It's a huge waste
of time. It is. It's entire. Listen to it. Listen to him. He's a kid. It's an entire waste of time. Because what it does, it just keeps you from the promise of God. Guilt keeps you from the promises of God. You just need to say, thank God I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. And then would you do it again? Thank him again. Say, Lord, that was evil and wicked. And but get right down to it. Get down to the bottom of it. Say, right down to the bottom of it. You know, and then don't, and quit trying to figure out why you do it. Because you're wicked and sinful, that's why. Quit trying to figure out why I do it. Listen, I want to tell you something. I was talking about Dad the other day. We were in Florida for a week. I was talking to him the other day. And he did drug and alcohol abuse counseling for a long time because he were one. He was one. And for everybody who tries to figure out, and this applies to drug and alcohol abuse, people who go and get things to ease their pain or ease their conscience, ease their stressing out on whatever it is, you know, and you'll say, I need this because. And what he was talking about was the fact that that's not, and you never deal with that. Does that sound like anybody you know? That you never deal with some kind of cause. Well, here's why I do this. You know what that's called? Psychology. Does that sound like anybody you know about around here? About, I'll help you, Pastor Jim. Does that sound like that? Is that you sitting there trying to gyrate through your life, trying to figure out why you do what you do? Stop it. I mean, get off the merry-go-round. Get off right now. Get off right now. And just begin to rejoice and to thank God. Quit looking back at how come you did or did not do something. He said, you know, my dad said to me, he said, and he's not a Christian. He said, because we're talking about somebody we know, we mutually know who, you know, will kind of make those stories and make those excuses. Thank you. And the fact is that the issue is, stop. In other words, when it has to do with, say, drug and alcohol abuse, the issue is, stop, get off. Quit thinking about why, just stop. In other words, today we're going to deal with one issue, is the fact that you're doing it, and you're not going to do it, and you're not going to do it anymore, but you're going to have to make that decision. You're going to make a decision to get off. You're going to make a decision to quit feeling guilty because, you know, because God said he's already forgiven you. But you're the one who's going to say amen to that. Okay? Does everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is that, okay. And you, it's not something you're producing. It's, again, something you believe. Something I believe. I believe that I'm free. And, you know, when somebody, and it's finally, and he, you know, he said this, and again, I said he's not a Christian. He was raised as a Lutheran. But what basically, he was sitting in a room, in a hotel room, started out with like 5 bottles of liquor, and about 3.5 bottles in, couldn't get drunk, and been through rehab 10 times, lost his family. And he said, it's like a light came on. I think he's how he put it. It's like a light came on. He picked up the phone, called his friend. He had one friend, I guess. This is after he left town. His best friend told him the best thing you can do is leave town and never come back. There's a new friend now he's got. And he says, come get me, I'm done. So he picks up the phone, calls his friend, says, come get me, I'm done. But he said, that light, I told him, I said, that light, that was God. That was God. He delivered you. Yep. You cried out. You were sick and tired, and God delivered you. And I tell you what, You believe the promise of God. You meditate upon the promise of God. Listen, you keep messing up. Meditate on the promise of God. You keep just doing the same old things you're doing. Meditate on the promise of God that He loves me and He's done everything in me, through me, for me. And even though everything looks like it's bad, you know what, God, I believe You right now. I believe You're going to take me and You're going to turn what I've had that was nothing and turn it into what You want. And you begin to just trust Him daily. Just trust His promise every day. And that there's really nothing else for you here. Amen? There is nothing else. By faith, he forsook Egypt. That's it. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Just by faith alone. He forsook Egypt, not just outwardly walking away, but inwardly. In other words, all that is there's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Is there nothing here for you? Huh? Is there nothing, or is there maybe some stuff still? If there's some stuff still here, you know, go ahead and get to the end of it. Go ahead and get to the end of it. Kick the tires a few more times. Be like the dog. Just go ahead and grab it and swallow it again. You know, if you think it's good. You know. You might die. You might. You might die. But, I mean, you can go, keep going as long as you want to. But I recommend you just go, you believe God now. Stop wasting time. But just believe God right now. Amen? Hallelujah. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, of the devil. Not God. Not, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Right? What do you mean? I gave you everything. Come back here. Put that down. You can't take that crown with you. You can't take that chariot with you. You're walking. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He forsook the, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Are you seeing him who is invisible? Jack, you didn't do anything to save your family. You just had to let, give up. I got to give up. There's some things I just got to give up and let God do it. And you know what? You don't. Some days you still get your fingers involved, don't you? Then just repent. You still get your hands in the middle of stuff, and you got to say, Jesus, forgive me. Again, don't feel guilty about it. Just say to the Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm just jumping around and being peaceful, happy. Just like Susan. Just not caring about how much she messes up. Amen? Or how much you do or don't do, do or don't do. Nothing. It's nothing. It's exciting. It is, because God just loves you. He does. He thinks you're the greatest thing. He's having more fun watching you grow up. You know that? God's having more fun watching you grow up. He loves to watch His kids grow. Just believe His promise. Through faith, he kept... I'm going to read a little bit more. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So this is after he came back, you know, as the deliverer, still by faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. You go through on dry land. The Egyptians, they tried to do that. They try to do what you do, and they're drowned. They're destroyed. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Wow. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance by faith. It's happening today. It's happening in all parts of the world today. Or maybe it's happening where you work. Tortured, not accepting deliverance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in half, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report. If you had asked them, they'd say, I'd do it again. These all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. It didn't appear that the promise came through. Where was it? It's in Christ Jesus. God having provided some better thing for you and me. That they without us should not have been perfected. So through Christ Jesus now are you perfected. These all, having gone through all this, yet still holding fast because of a promise. How much more you? How much more you with the promise that's in Christ Jesus? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just rejoice. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the faith, which is the gift of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So, Father, we just rejoice right now and thank you for the faith that is your gift, and that we walk with it, knowing that through that faith, you have provided for us all things. You have provided for us joy unspeakable and full of glory, that we have learned in whatsoever state we are in, therewith to be content. Having learned, having been instructed, we know how, both to abound and to suffer need. We're not afraid in any way. And we're not bound by guilt nor condemnation because we have no confidence in the flesh. So, Father, I pray for this group of people today that this week, this day, that they walk out of here without an assignment to perform, to receive anything of the Lord, but to have already received the fullness of the promise, and that they walk daily by faith with joy and peace, following the moving of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said He would send and has sent. and by whom we live. In Jesus' name we give you praise. Hallelujah.